In Governor Kathy Hochul's State of the State address, she acknowledged that thousands of bars and restaurants across the state had been forced to close during the pandemic. And in what was one of the most widely publicized parts of her speech, she went on to say, a bit prematurely maybe, that the state will allow the sale of to-go drinks, a revenue stream for restaurants and bars that was cut off last summer. To discuss the ramifications of allowing this popular offering to restart and consider what else the restaurant industry needs to survive for the next few months and beyond, we're checking back in with Melissa Fleischut, President and CEO of the New York State Restaurant Association. Welcome back to the show, Melissa.
Thank you, Dave.
And also joining us from Dunavin's Pub in Queens, we're joined once again by Dan Connor. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me.
So, Dan, for starters, the governor described the sale of to-go alcohol as a quote-unquote critical revenue stream during the lean times over the last 2 years. How important is it to you? Can you quantify what it's meant to you? Has it been critical?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. It hurts us when it's not available, when people are hesitant to come into the restaurant because of a spike in cases. But they are still wanting to support us. They're picking up to-go orders, and not being able to add some cocktails to go or drinks to go is a significant cut to that check that they would be paying.
And in normal times, I think it's no secret that alcohol purchases are an important part of a restaurant's bottom line because of the markup. I have to imagine it represents the same important revenue source outside of the restaurant when it's done and is to go as well.
Absolutely. You nailed it. That is a key revenue stream. The markup is more significant on alcohol than on food items. So when you could add that in your to-go orders and takeout orders, especially when to-go and takeout are a high percentage of the business you're doing, it becomes even more critical.
Melissa, a lot of New Yorkers, as well as restaurant operators, took the governor's remarks, including her saying cheers, to mean she was unilaterally imposing actions that would take effect immediately. What sort of education did you have to do about this issue in the wake of the State of the State speech? And were you hearing from people who assumed that this issue was a done deal based on the remarks?
So we put out information almost immediately along with the announcement and explained to our members that this was going to require action by the legislature, but that we would work with the governor and fight alongside her to get this proposal passed. So, you know, as we move through legislative session, we expect to see a proposal from the governor and are excited to have her support for this. But, you know, there were a few calls and questions about how quickly people were going to be able to start selling this again. But by and large, it wasn't that widespread amongst our members, at least.
So not to get too inside baseball on the process, but the big opponent of this measure is going to be liquor stores. And liquor stores have proven to be pretty effective at killing this measure in 2021 when it was pushed as a standalone bill. Do you feel like this as an issue stands a better chance of being adopted if it's part of the state budget, where it would therefore be tied with a collection of other issues?
Well, we certainly do hope that this manages to get included in the governor's budget proposal and included in the final budget as passed by the legislature, either end of March, early April, whenever they get around to it. But yeah, I mean, we certainly want to see this pass. It's very important for our restaurants, and we think that, you know, it's long overdue at this point. So we're very optimistic about our chances of getting this done this year.
And is there going to be a push, maybe from the Restaurant Association, to make this happen as a standalone bill prior to the budget being adopted so that it could take effect sooner? Or is the focus on that budget process?
Right now, I don't think that we're, you know, moving forward with any specific proposal for the legislature. We're waiting to see what the governor does, if it's going to be in her budget proposal next week. And, you know, if she includes it there, we'll wholeheartedly, you know, work with her to get something passed. And then if it's not in there, then obviously we'll have to work on a standalone bill.
Alcohol to go isn't the only creative adaptation that restaurants have embraced in the last 22 months. They've been creative with what they sell more broadly and how they sell it, especially in recognition of the need to, say, socially distance. And along the way, there have obviously been physical costs. And in recognition of that, Governor Hochul is proposing a tax credit for COVID-related purchases. And while this would not just be limited to the restaurant industry, at least based on my reading of the governor's State of the State address, it would be something that restaurants could take advantage of. So Dan, when you think about everything that's gone into your business in the last, say, year, is a tax credit related to COVID purchases and expenses something that would potentially help your bottom line?
Oh, it would definitely help our bottom line, and it would especially help restaurants who were unable to take advantage of the Restaurant Revitalization Fund. I think only 30% of, or 33% of restaurants that applied received those funds. So if you didn't receive those to help offset those expenses that you've invested to get through the COVID crisis these past 22 months, this tax credit would be a significant benefit for us.
And Melissa, like I noted, there's kind of not a ton known about this credit based on what was in the State of the State proposal. As someone who's inside the halls of power to a certain degree, do you have any additional insight into what the governor is proposing with regards to this tax credit? Or is this something where we're going to have to wait and see what the details of it actually look like when the governor produces her budget, most likely on January 18th?
So I don't have any real specific details as to what this would entail. You know, so far we have heard capital expenses, including renovations, machinery, equipment, retrofits that might have occurred due to COVID safety enhancements. But beyond that, I don't really have much information on it yet.
For listeners who are just joining us, we're speaking with Melissa Fleischut, President and CEO of the New York State Restaurant Association, and Dan Connor of Dunavin's Pub in Queens. And so, Melissa, there have been other initiatives like the PPP money designed to help businesses which have gone to restaurants, and some money specifically for the restaurant industry. Are there any outstanding funds that you're aware of that you're trying to exhaust at this point for restaurants? Or is the focus now on securing additional funds, whether at the state or federal level, to help New York's restaurants?
At the federal level at this point, I believe all of the programs that have been run with the SBA's help have been closed. So the Payroll Protection Program, the Restaurant Revitalization Fund, even the Economic Injury Disaster Loan programs have all been closed at this point. And Dan referenced the fact that the Restaurant Revitalization Fund actually ran out of money. So in New York, our applicants totaled 27,000 restaurants and bars that applied for that funding with a need of more than $9 billion. And he was right, 35% received their funding, but that means we still have 17,868 applications that went unfunded through that program. So we're continuing to push Congress to add more money to the Restaurant Revitalization Program so that all the restaurants and bars that needed that funding could receive it.
So at the state level, obviously there's talk of a tax credit. Is this something where the state has the resources to commit to a meaningful relief program for the restaurants? Or is really the only hope of getting money going to come from Washington, D.C.?
Well, you know, I think the tax credits are helpful, and I think that there's programs that the state has put in place that have helped restaurants. But when you're talking about needing funding of almost $6 billion for those restaurants and bars that applied but didn't get funding, you know, I really think that that's probably going to have to come from the federal government.
So, Dan, what is the operation of your restaurant like today? Obviously, you've gone through many different versions, I imagine, of what it means to operate a restaurant. But what's it like now?
Until about a week before Christmas, we were doing really well. But then the Omicron spike really has hurt us. And the last several weeks have been slow. Takeout and to-go has picked up with that, though. We're a community-based restaurant. Our community really does a great job at supporting us. So while in-house dining has cut down significantly. Our takeout and to-go orders have picked up, which is why we're really anxious for the cocktails to-go program. But, you know, we've reinvented ourselves so many times over these past 22 months, and getting together with other operators, thanks to the New York State Restaurant Association, has really helped all of us because we share ideas and we're able to bounce things off of each other. And I don't think most of us make it through if it wasn't for the teamwork that we've all put together.
Melissa, one of the big changes for restaurants outside of New York City this year is the state's restriction on styrofoam to-go containers, which is a statewide ban. What are you hearing from restaurants who are just now beginning to live under this restriction?
So it's definitely been different across the state. Large areas like New York City, I know Albany County, and some of our other counties have already dealt with this issue, so they were already used to dealing with the ban. It's, you know, those counties and areas that never dealt with this issue before that we're hearing more from it. And it's more a question of, you know, how do we get rid of what we have and stop, you know, switching to an alternative now with all the supply chain issues that we have. Those seem to be the questions that we're getting most from our members. But I think, you know, there's a lot of understanding out there that folks want to do the right thing to protect the environment, to meet their customer demands. Customers are very knowledgeable about these products now. So as long as there is an environmentally friendly alternative that they can get easily that isn't significantly more expensive, I think most restaurants are willing to make the change without any question.
Dan, what did the ban on styrofoam to-go containers mean for you in New York City when it was implemented? Was it a big cultural and, I guess, economic shift?
It was a slight economic shift. I mean, definitely cost us a little bit more, but we understand the reasoning for this ban, and it makes sense. The environment could use all the help we could get. So we were happy to take part there. And there are really good alternatives that we can leverage and keep food, warm and quality and transport. I'll be honest with you, the plastic straw ban is having a bigger impact on us than
really?
Than the styrofoam ban. Yeah.
What's the plastic straw ban meant for your business specifically?
We haven't found a quality alternative that'll really work out and last. You know, some people, especially if people aren't drinking alcoholic drinks, they're drinking sodas and they want to use a straw. The alternatives to plastic straws just aren't, they don't last as long and it becomes a bit of a problem.
Have you tried telling adults that they're an adult and they shouldn't use a straw and they should just drink from a glass?
I have, but they keep reminding me that it's more that it's for their children. We are a family restaurant, and it's more about children who are constantly stirring their straws and their drinks and playing with them. So it's been a problem for us.
Well, you know, I would be the perfect customer for you, Dan, because I am a no-straw guy. And, you know, if I can do my best, maybe I'll save them up in upstate New York when they keep giving to me. And I'll, you know, shuffle
bring
them down there and you can have a whole side, you know, handing out straws that I've collected for you. Well,
I appreciate that.
Well, you know, it's a service we do here. It's not just about the radio gig. It's just about helping the people of New York. But on that note, though... we're going to have to call it quits. We've been speaking with Dan Connor. He is of Dunavin's Pub in Queens. Dan, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
And also, we've heard from Melissa Fleischut, President and CEO of the New York State Restaurant Association. Melissa, thank you so much for making the time.
Thanks for having us.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.